call us today is called the Resolution Solution. I know he's not here, but I want to commend and I already have thanked Joel for his lesson last week on transformation from Romans 12. It was an excellent lesson. As we face a new year, we think a lot about transformation, I hope, and about change, about resolutions, we call them. Each year we're blessed with what I believe is this opportunity to turn our calendar onto a new year. And as I've looked at mine already, I find the pages are filling with stuff. Any of you? And I'm finding that now that I have a smartphone, I'm using the paper one less, but I'm still using one, but it's just filling up with stuff. Regularly scheduled classes and sermons. I have about 6 to 8 meetings a month. That's in ministry meetings and staff meetings and elder meetings and boards meetings. So they're there. There's some special events that are designated. We're going to have a meal for the homeless at Carpenter's Place on January 31st. I have the date confirmed now. That's a lunch. I'm going to be asking people to help provide the rescue mission. There'll be a meal for them in June. June 9th, I believe, is the date for that. I plan to City on the Hill outreach in February. I have 2 weddings and a Seder supper scheduled in March. Lord willing, I'm going to lead an elders retreat again in April. I hope to attend the leadership conference in October again and head up the Calvary Cares giveaway sometime in between. And then there'll probably be VBS and there'll be holidays, right? And there's vacations that maybe will fit in there as well. And there's birthdays, you know, and anniversaries and the calendar, right? So much for the fresh slate. All right? It seems to get filled up so quickly. Some of this stuff is routine. But I want you to hear my heart. I don't want any of it to be routine. I want for things to be different this year. I want plenty of room for the Spirit to move and to lead. And Trish, I appreciate your prayer a little while ago, you know, and that difficult prayer so the Lord refine us as well as, you know. Yeah, we want to be resolved. We want you to get us resigned to things, but refine us if necessary. Well, here's one that's hard for me to play. Interrupt God if necessary. You know, I've got all these plans, and I've even prayerfully made them, and I understand the principle, commit them to the Lord, and they'll succeed. But sometimes, you know, I commit them to the Lord, I pray for them, believing in the Lord, but the Lord has always got better plans than mine, and sometimes my plans aren't quite fitting to, you know, I'm talking about. And so, Lord, interrupt. Change my plans if they're not coinciding with yours. Or even if you've given me a plan, I believe, but you know what? You see that I'm messing it up. you can fix that, and that may need some speaking. Do it. But I want things to be different. You want things to be different? You want things to be different?
This year will be different.
This year will be different.
This year will be different. This year, I need to eat less. You know what? I do solemnly swear that this year I will lose 10 pounds. Five
is the magic number. That's how many times I want to visit my grandmother this year, which would be 5 more than last year.
Learn to wait. I always want things instantly. I need patience. Now, this year, I'll be nicer to my parents. What, Mom? Get off my back. I just need peace in my life. I'm just so nervous all the time. I'm twitching. 3 kids. I'm a twitcher. I'm twitching. I twitch. I just can't seem to get
my pits to stop sweating. Can you see this? Look, when did I become the human leak? I mean, I know I've got some stress about my future and everything, but why can't I just be like everyone else and conceal it? Okay, I'll just have to fake it till I make it.
And I'll
be better than I've ever been in my entire life.
If I'm going to make this year count, I have to do some things differently. It's toupee time.
Make some goals this year. Just three. Stop judging people who aren't like me.
Stop snapping at my kid.
Dream! Character over image. Learn that I'm loved, but not entitled.
God, you forget about me. I'm here. Just show me what to do.
Give me the strength to change. I don't even know if I want to change, God. I'm comfortable. I'm a good life. You know, you want the best for me. So why don't I want the best for me?
Starting tomorrow, using my gifts and talents, I'm going to live my life differently. God's way.
I'm tired of keeping this great gift.
A secret. Can I tell you a secret? I feel like I'm separated from something. It sounds weird, doesn't it? But whatever I need, it's bigger than this world can offer.
I offer my life, God. It's something much more than what I can see. Please, God, would you just take this little bit of faith that I have?
I just can't wait another year.
You can relate to some of that. Yeah, you want things to be different, but maybe like the one guy, you say, but I don't really want to change to be different. I don't want it to be that different, or I want things to be different without me becoming uncomfortable, or without me having to go through any difficult times. Maybe we recognize that even as we make resolutions or as we think, well, these are the changes I'd like to see take place, that we fail to dream big, or we think we're dreaming too big, so we start to pull in the reins and say, you know what, instead of the 10 pounds, the 5, instead of the, and we say, well, let's make it more realistic, something we can control, something we can manage on our own. With our own strength, with our own ability, and as we look at times in past resolutions perhaps, past challenges that we made to self to change, and we failed, we think, why even bother? As I plunge into 2013, I don't want it to be a rerun. I'm looking for change this year. I'm looking for change for the church. I'm looking for change for me as part of the church. I want change. Do you? How many of you would agree with this statement? Nothing changes without change. Put your hand up right? I mean, come on, that's a no-brainer, isn't it? Nothing changes without change. I mean, come on. But hear me. If we interpret that to mean that nothing will change unless we change it, we might need to think again. Because like it or not, change is inevitable. Change happens. And it will happen. For the better or the worse, change will occur. And we will change. We will. We don't like to recognize and admit when we get older, our bodies change, right? You know, and as much as we might try to resist change, as much as we might try to somehow stop change. Change happens. And I know many people who have tried to resist changes, for instance, in churches, and they are able to slow it down and halt it. But maybe the change doesn't happen that they're trying to keep from happening, but change happens. And sometimes the change they get is not the change that they would have preferred in doing that. And sometimes that's true of ourselves. The issue is not whether or not change is going to happen, it's what kind of changes are going to take place. And whether we will choose maybe to implement some things, to choose to make some choices that will promote positive change, or whether we're just going to go with the flow and accept whatever changes come that, hear me, will change you. They will. There's a prayer that's often quoted, opening lines to what's the Serenity Prayer. Have you ever heard of the Serenity Prayer? I'm sure you have. Whether you recognize it by the name or not, it goes like this. Lord, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Let's just think about this a minute, okay? This idea of a serenity prayer. The idea that there would be peace, things would be serene, things would be good if we could just get this. First of all, that first part's tough for me. Are there things that really I have no control over that I cannot change? Is that true? Are there things that I can't change that you can't change, that we just have to accept because we can't change them? In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 15, Solomon said this. And this is a wise guy, an inspiration of the Spirit. He says, what is twisted cannot be straightened. What's he saying? Some things can't be changed. He also says this, what is lacking cannot be counted. Any of you are trying to count your chickens before they're hatched? And you don't even have any eggs yet? And you don't have any chickens to have the eggs, to have the chicks? Any of you ever do that? He's saying, you know what, there's some things that you can't just change by wishing it, by willing it, or even working it. Some things, well, it's that old phrase again that my wife doesn't like. I'm saying, it is what it is sometimes. And we have to adapt, and we have to maybe pray for the strength for us to be changed, to be able to handle it, to deal with it, and to know what to do with it. But evidently, some things we may be stuck with. And it's not necessarily always because it's just not cost-efficient to change them. It's that they can't really be changed. Anybody ever watch American Restoration on the History Channel? It's one of the shows that I've kind of got a little following of. It's interesting. Rick Dale is and his crew, they do some pretty amazing stuff with worn-out, broken-down things that are brought to them. Just some amazing restoration that they do of things. But once in a while, he admits some things just can't be restored the way they were. Replacement parts aren't available anymore. When possible, he might manufacture a part to replace that part that you can't get anymore, but see, it's no longer factory original anymore. It's not really being restored. It's being altered. Sometimes the function has even got to be changed to get it to do even remotely what it once did. Sometimes. What amazes me is that the people who bring him stuff, and they are willing to pay incredible amounts of money to get this thing to look like it did, and to work like it did. And he'll quote him a figure, and many of them will say, okay, well, I want it restored. So they'll, some will go, you know what, I think I'll just leave it the way it is. Have you ever wasted time, effort, money trying to straighten twisted stuff in your life? And I'm not talking about just stuff. Ever day daydreamed of things being like new? Or lost or broken things being restored? I'm not talking about just, could be relationships. Could be health. How many of you wish you felt like you did at 20? Huh? Well, not that time I was 20 after I had the car accident, though. That hurt. No, I'd want to pick a precise time and when I was feeling good, you know, about things. Sometimes there's no going back that way. We don't like to hear it, but sometimes we have to count the cost of things and recognize that what can be changed and what needs to be changed and what's worth the cost of investing in the change. Sometimes we need to walk away from the wreckage and start fresh. Sometimes the bad circumstances, situations are a result of choices made and can be changed if we make better choices. Sometimes the circumstances and situations will not be changed even if we change the way we do things. Sometimes the first choice we need to make is on whether or not something should be salvaged. This is another hard one for me. In churches, again, for instance, every year as I look at the past year and I look at the year ahead and I think about, okay, well what are we going to do this year, you know, and what do we do last year? And you know, sometimes it's just, well, we did it last year, so we got to do it again. And we did it the year before that, the year before that, the year before that. But we did look, was it productive? Did it fulfill a purpose? Or is it just routine? We may have some ownership of it. We may really be fond of it, but we may be the founders of it. But you know what? Sometimes it's a matter of that needs to be buried. Go to a funeral. Go on. Sometimes. And that's tough. Maybe sometimes, isn't it? Sometimes it's tough to do that. But sometimes that's what needs to be done. Sometimes it's true in my life, too, you know, that there are things that I've done and I'm fond of, and I have ownership of, you know, that I want change, but there's things I don't want to give up for that change to come about. Are you with me? You know, and then it's been mentioned more than once, Ted, okay, about losing weight, right? Well, some of us don't want to lose weight, but we don't want to give up the desserts. We don't want to give up ice cream. Goodness, are you kidding me? Butter pecan, are you kidding? Yeah, you know, but sometimes we don't want to give up. We don't want to make the changes necessary to bring about the change. We need to look at things and see what's worth salvaging. And if it is, what changes need to be made to make this thing new, to make this thing real. And what things need to be just discarded, and let's get something brand new. Sometimes we need to leave things behind, not even bother trying to pick up the pieces, just moving on. And I'm not being specific, I know here, you know, because if I'm specific, it's not going to relate to you anyway. We need to pray and think about these principles. The Apostle Paul reached a conclusion in his life that this very kind of idea was necessary. It's in Philippians chapter 3. Verse 13 to 14, he writes something very interesting. He writes this, "Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Now, in context, he's not talking about losing weight. He's not talking about quitting a bad habit necessarily. He's not talking about getting out of debt. He's not talking about changing a church program. He's talking about being changed. Now, though God may place some resolutions on our heart that will be fitting well into His plans, so often, you know, what the resolutions we're talking about making and thinking about making really don't have a whole lot to do with God's agenda and God's purpose and God's plan. what Paul is referring to here is making changes that will help him to become the person God wants him to be. That's what he's talking about. And listen, that he is recognizing and realizing that there's the past that has to be just done away with. It's not about, you know, let's pick up the pieces of it. It's about let's get rid of it. Let's stop putting confidence in it. Let's stop holding on to that. Let's move on from here. And he had some stuff that other people would have said, why would you give that up? Why would you let go of that? Why would you discard that? Why would you walk away from that? Because they had nothing to do with fulfilling his goal,
which was God's goal for him, to be the person God wanted him to be.
Wasn't there this bad stuff, but it was stuff that got in the way of being who God wanted him to be. He was focusing on a new life. On a life that was new and hear me, different. He's ready to be changed. He's past being ready. He's ready to be transformed in the image of Christ totally and completely. And he's ready to discard and get rid of anything that will hinder that. Anything. For him, that meant abandoning his former life. We're not just part of it, not some of it, all of it. All of it. And guess what? For you and me, it means the same thing. We want the new life God has for us. It means abandoning the old one. All of it? Yes. All of it. Jesus once said in Matthew chapter 16, in verse 25, he said this, whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for me will find it. Huh? His words follow immediately the challenge to deny self and pick up the cross and follow him. It's more than a change in direction. It's more than a slight alteration of our lifestyle. It's more than even changing a little bit of our priorities. It's about changing of self. And that's the issue. The issue that God's concerned about. And you want to know something that's kind of hard? It's the only issue he's concerned about. In 2013, we may change our address. Maybe somebody have plans to do that. You may change a job, and somebody may need to do that. May change churches. May change diets and clothing and all kinds of other things. But hear me here. Remember, just because we can change something doesn't mean we need to or should either. We need to look at whether or not it's what God's been doing, or whether it's what we've been doing. Too many moves are from the frying pan to the fire. I don't know how many people have thought, you know what, if I just like change churches, well then the transformation will take place. Really? Well, is that it? Well, if they just sang different music here, you know, they're not, boy, then I'd be a different person. Really? Well, you know what? If they changed preachers, now then my life would begin to, maybe that's what you need. So many times, that's not it. Changes can be good, changes can help, changes can be beneficial. But at the end of the day, too many changes leave us unchanged. You know what I'm talking about? Too many changes just leave us unchanged. In fact, I'm convinced that I put too much confidence in the ability that any changes I make will change me. Jeremiah once asked this in chapter 13, verse 23, and it's a rhetorical question. He said, can an Ethiopian change his skin? Can a leopard change its spots? Well, the leopard, you know, I can show you here, a leopard was going to change. Here's the before picture. And here's the after picture. up or change his spots. No. Now, I read an article the other day where they were saying, since evolution is what caused the spots, that if he would just change his environment, for enough generations, that maybe the spots would change. And I'm thinking, boy, you're missing the whole point. missing the point entirely here. The answer is no. I can't. Well, certainly, if the leopard just wanted to change, right? Sometimes we think that's it. You just don't want to change enough. If you wanted to change enough, then you change. Well, hear me. Again, we can make changes, but we can't change who we are. We can't change our nature. We can't change our essence. We can't. Again, we may change the color of our hair. I've been thinking about that. Gray is what I was thinking. What do you mean? Style clothing again? Externals. I was thinking the other day, but we can be deflated as a flat tire, by things that happen in our life that just kind of suck the life right out of you. That can happen. But we don't have the power to change that condition in of ourselves. We don't have the power to, we think we do sometimes, but to get pumped up again. We don't have the power to be changed either in and of ourselves. We might be on the wrong channel, but we don't control the remote. We can be as filthy as a baby who messed itself, but we don't have the wisdom or the strength or the resources to clean ourselves up. There's some changes that we can't make. And the main changes that we can't make is we really can't change ourselves. Yet Jesus said in Matthew 18:3, if we wish to see God, we must change and become like little children. He said, if you want to see God, you must change and become like little children. But if we can't change, then how are we to fulfill that? A similar kind of statement, almost an oxymoron, is what he told us in John 3, verse 3, when he said we must be born again if we are to see God, if we are to see his kingdom. Change is inevitable, but change into the person God wants us to be is not our doing, it's his doing. It's our surrendering to that. I want you to hear. I can decide that I want to change my nature, but I can no more change that than I had control of being born. I may be willing for it to happen, but I don't have the ability to make it happen. And I believe therein, folks, is a great deal of the reason why our resolutions don't succeed, is our resolutions are things that we are trying to change, as opposed to having God change us. It's his job. It's about us surrendering to that. Joel quoted Romans 12 last week, where it says, again, present your bodies as living sacrifices. That's surrendering to him changing us. See, there is one who can will it to happen and make it happen. Speaking on this very issue again, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, the Apostle Paul said this. He said, he who began a good work and you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Some of you, when you were very, very small, very little, very young in the faith, God began to do a work in you, not on you, but in you, to make you into the person he wanted you to be. Okay? For some of you, that began very early. For some of you, it began later in life. For some, maybe it hasn't started yet. It's not that he's not willing and wanting to transform you and change you into the person He wants you to be, but there's got to be that surrender to that. That recognition that, God, I can't do it. I can't just become who You want me to be. You're the one who makes all things new. You're the one who takes a heart of stone and replaces the heart of flesh. You're the one who puts a new spirit in people. You're the one who does that. And God, I'm tired of trying to change. Change me. Change me. Change me. And He will. Providing, it'll happen a lot sooner if we just stop chasing our dreams and pursue His. Instead of following our fantasies, we follow Jesus. We'll find that it's not things that are changing, but we are changing. And as we change the way we do things. You don't have to teach a dog to bark. That's what he does. You could try all day long to get him to meow like a cat, and I haven't seen that on America's Funniest Videos yet, but I don't think you could do that unless his nature changes. And so many times we're trying to do things that are the nature of our flesh, and God needs to change our nature. We can't change that. God can change. Once He changes us, we will start speaking like He wants us to speak. We'll start living the way He wants us to live. We'll start making choices that He wants us to make. Things will change when we change. And we can count on it. We'll carry it on to completion. Well, hurry it up, God, right? Hurry it up, God. Well, 1 Corinthians 15, Paul tells us that you know what? It's going to happen in a moment. In a moment. And I'm glad to hear that. It says right here in verse 51, 52. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We're not all asleep, but we will all be. Can you read that with me? We will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkle of an eye, at the last trumpet. He goes on to say, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable. We will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. World death is your victory. World death is your sting. The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Now, I used to think that meant, hey, get busy working for the Lord. That's not what's being said here. Give yourself to His work. Surrender yourself to His work. Let Him work on you and in you. Because you know that your labor and war is not vain. Give yourselves fully to His work. Give yourselves to that. See, it's not about, I'm going to work myself into a better person. No, God, do Your work in me. Make me the better person. Make me who You want me to be. In the twinkling of an eye. Oh, God, I want it now. God is saying, be patient. I'm working. I'm working. I'm working. And the more you surrender, the more I'll be able to work, and the more I'll be able to change you to who I want you to be. At the last trump. And I thought that was interesting. Two of the songs we sang today, I hadn't even noticed that, Tricia, when You're Chosen, talked about the trumpet. At the trumpet call. At the trumpet call. About us being changed. But I want you to hear the trumpet of God today. I want you to hear God's it's not retreat, guys. He's not blowing retreat. He's saying, you know what? I'm announcing to you today, I want to change you. I am ready to change you. I have been ready. I've been ready to change you. Surrender to that. And let me change you into the image of Jesus Christ. Let me do that. I don't know about you, but I have decided to make Jesus my resolution solution. How about you? The surrender to that. And in doing so, I'm not going to be praying the serenity prayer. I'm praying something more like this. Lord, help me to recognize the things that I can and should change, but never let me forget that only You can change me into the person You want me to be. May I I surrender to your will and walk in your way. Convict me this day to leave yesterday behind. Resolve today to follow your son Jesus without hesitation or reservation. Jesus be my resolution solution. Change me. Jesus.